This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
According to a report by Global Corruption Barometer, or GCB, 59% of Malaysians believe corruption is worsening in the country. This is a drastic jump from the 30% in 2013 and 34% in 2014. Investigations on corruption have been grabbing the headlines in recent months, with the Sabah Water Department and Johor housing scandals being some of the more alarming cases. Studies have indicated that whistleblowing is the single most effective tool to combat corruption. However, the whistleblowing culture is still primitive in Malaysia. Only 28 out of over 8,900 complaints made to the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission in 2012 were made by whistleblowers. Dato' Akbar Sattar is the president of Transparency International Malaysia. Dato' Akbar explains why whistleblowers remain hesitant to come forward.
Whistleblower policy have to be a relook and they have to revamp, because many people do not come forward to give information to the MBCC because they are not sure of the whistleblower policy and they are scared of the impact when giving information. But this is very important, because in order to curb corruption, the MBCC need information, good information. If you report corruption, you have to come forward and, of course, give statement. You are also willing to go to court to give evidence, because this one takes time. So this is very important. If you see the developed country, this is what they do. They want to curb corruption. They will help the anti-corruption agency, not only by giving information, but also they are willing to come forward to give statement, and they will go to court and give evidence. So this is very important to curb corruption. We cannot only depend on MACC, but the public have to come forward to curb corruption.
Dato' Akbar praised the MACC's recent investigations into corrupt practices within the civil service. However, he believes the whistleblower policy will be rendered ineffective if there is selective prosecution.
Actually, our system is good. A separation of power. The MACC will conduct investigation and the prosecution will be done by the AG. So this is very important. But the problem in Malaysia is that the handlers are no good. If you have people with integrity who can upkeep and uphold the rules and regulations, therefore, I think there will be no problem. But as far as I'm concerned, when you talk about MACC, I think they are sincere in working to curb corruption. But their problem today only investigate, but they do not have any prosecution power. The prosecution power has been done by the AG. Therefore, the system is good, but the problem is that the handler are not transparent and there is some selective prosecution.
In the past, PKR Vice President Rafizi Ramli was denied protection under the Whistleblower Protection Act for disclosing official secrets to the media. Dato' Akbar explains.
Looking at Malaysia scenario, based on the Whistleblower Act, we can only report to MACC, the Customs, the Immigration, the Police and so on. But the public is not happy because they want to make sure that the media come to know on the issue. But according to the law enforcement agency, they are scared if you expose in the media, that will jeopardize their investigation. They are scared that evidence will be destroyed and witnesses will run away. This is their idea. But on the other side, if you see that in other parts of the world, they still allow the whistleblower to post to the media. So there is a pro and con.
Malaysia's Corruption Perception Index has been worsening gradually over the years. This appears to be a major obstacle in getting the public's involvement to combat graft. Christopher Leong is the president-elect of the Law Association for Asia and the Pacific. He claims there is a lack of conviction that enforcement agencies are 100% independent.
The Corruption Perception Index, published by Transparency International for 2016, which measures perception of public sector corruption, shows that Malaysia has slipped 1 point from 2015, the year before that, and 2 points from 2014. So it appears that the perception of corruption in Malaysia is getting worse. And this is in spite of reports in the news of increased efforts of MACC in fighting corruption, as well as increased rates by MACC in the past year. Public perception of corruption in Malaysia is worsening as a result of a combination of factors. We have laws to combat corruption. You know, for example, the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Act of 2009. We have a dedicated agency for that, the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission. We also have a specific legislation to encourage people to come forward to the authorities with information of crime or corruption. And this is the Whistleblower Protection Act. But the perception is that I think the laws are sometimes used or applied selectively, or that the anti-corruption agency may not be independent or at least is susceptible to interference.
Christopher believes the Whistleblower Protection Act needs to be more effective and palatable.
Certainly, the Whistleblower Protection Act has some deficiencies and could be improved upon. It must always be borne in mind that in order to encourage the public or government officers or any person who has information of a crime, particularly of corruption, to whistleblow, we must first win their confidence. And to do this, generally, there should be three things that must be present. There must be guarantee of protection for whistleblowers. The whistleblowers must also be confident of the independence of the enforcement agencies that they make disclosures or complaints to. And thirdly, the whistleblowers should have some level of confidence that their complaint will be taken seriously and acted upon. You know, once you bear these three elements that ought to be present, and then you look at our Whistleblower Act, you may find that there are provisions in the Act itself that does not engender sufficiently such confidence.
An act which seeks to protect and encourage the exposé of corrupt practices should be independent from executive government. Christopher says the act currently allows ministers to oversee its procedure.
If you look to several provisions of the Whistleblower Act, particularly Section 4, Section 13, Section 27, in essence, the three sections combined gives the minister pretty wide powers and oversight over the operations of the Whistleblower Act and the enforcement agencies. So, for example, Section 4 of the Whistleblower Act states that the minister may give to the enforcement agency directions of a general character as to the exercise of powers and discretions and duties of the enforcement agencies. So it immediately tells you that government has a pretty large role to play within the whistleblower protection scheme. And as we know very often as well, corruption involves public officials. So given this, it is not ideal in terms of the messaging to the public. When you make a complaint and seek protection under the Whistleblower Protection Act about corruption within a government department or against a public official within government, you are not certain as to how the interaction is within government and how your complaints will be dealt with. It is far better to ensure that it is a completely independent oversight body that plays this role within the Act in place of the minister.
The current legislative framework does not allow disclosure by whistleblowers to a non-enforcement agency without being subjected to imprisonment or fine. Christopher disagrees with this section of the law.
One has to question why, in some instance, whistleblowers choose to disclose their information to the media. In those instances, one may find that it's because the whistleblower does not have sufficient confidence in the agency alone. They may fear, for example, of a cover-up. Once a whistleblower takes the step of trying to expose corruption, especially corruption on a large scale, or corruption involving important government officials, they may feel that as a safeguard for themselves, they would like this information to be immediately made public. So in such instances, I think that we shouldn't lose focus on the objectives of the various acts to fight corruption. And the objective is always that to eradicate corruption. Disclosure of information by a whistleblower to the media or to the public should not in itself operate to take away protection from the whistleblower.
Conflict in different provisions of the law remain a key issue that prevents the consolidation of anti-graft enforcement. Such contradiction could see a whistleblower arrested or prosecuted instead of being protected. Christopher explains.
Section 6 of the Whistleblower Act is the provision that states any person may make a disclosure of a criminal offence or of corruption to any enforcement agency. And then the other provisions, for example, Section 7 then says that such whistleblower will be given protection under the Act. However, the problem here is that Section 6 itself goes to make an exception. And it says that the disclosure of the information cannot be specifically prohibited by law. As we know, a substantial amount of our public record, government information, materials, documents are classified under the Official Secrets Act. Provisions of that Official Secrets Act makes it a criminal offence for anyone to disclose such documents, information or data. So that immediately defeats a substantial part of the Whistleblowers Protection Act. Recently, of course, we have witnessed the amendment to the Penal Code, which introduced a provision which provides anybody who discloses any information or matter obtained in the course of that person's duties or employment under any written law shall be considered to have committed a criminal offence under the Penal Code. The combination of the exception made in Section 6 of the Whistleblowers Act, as well as Section 203 capital A of the Penal Code, effectively makes it almost impossible for any public official to whistleblow.
Involvement in corrupt practices should not revoke protection or whistleblowers. Christopher says informers are sometimes linked to offenders in some way, and disclosure should be granted in some cases.
Section 11(1)(a) basically excludes from the whistleblower protection scheme anybody who is a participant or who was part of the criminal offence or corruption involved. That provision does not really recognise the reality. Very often, enforcement agents or anybody else for that matter gets information about a crime or about corruption, because corruption by nature is usually done behind closed doors with hardly any witnesses. So the only witnesses of the Corrupt Act would be the persons who are participating in the act. If that is the case, it is going to be very, very difficult to get anybody to whistleblow on a corruption offence, unless you recognise the reality of it is that there are some instances where the persons involved in the Corrupt Act have decided they are going to make a complaint. They should be afforded some level of protection. Now, under the current Act, there is no discretion. The moment you are a co-participant in the offence in question, you cannot get any protection for whistleblowing. My proposal is that we need to be a bit more realistic about this, and therefore build in a discretion from case to case for the authorities to grant protection to the whistleblower, even where the whistleblower was part of the corruption.
This is a report by Raja Nadira. I am Aslin Balkis for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.